We're doing Gemara Megillah. We're nearing the end of the first chapter, Baruch Hashem. We're towards the bottom of Tetzayin Amud Aleph, and we're quoting verses from the Megillah. And the Gemara is giving us like a run on Medrash. Each line, the Gemara is giving us another Medrash. So, we're by the two dots. Esther has told Ahasuerus there's a terrible man who wants us annihilated. And when Ahasuerus hears this, Ahasuerus says, "Who are we talking about? Who dares?" Vatomer Esther, Ish Tzar ve'Oyev Aman Arazeh. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, compiler of Jerusalem Talmud. So Rabbi Elazar says, "Melamed she'aita mechava klapei Ahasuerus," teaches us she was pointing to Ahasuerus. Ish Tzar ve'Oyev, an important person, a threat, an enemy. And then along, she's pointing to Ahasuerus. She's thinking, "It's you, you bum. You signed that decree." And she was an honest person. That's why she had Ruach HaKodesh. So in her mind, who's at fault here? It's Ahasuerus. He's the Russia who signed the decree. But Hamalach came and moved her hand towards Haman, and she finished her sentence and said, "Haman the wicked." That Haman. Why? Because it says Hazeh. She's pointing. So she was pointing the other way. And a Malach came and took her wagging finger, pointed it to Haman. Okay, so that's what the Medrash says. So we know of another giant in Jewish history. This giant, the giant of Torah Shebichsav, Moshe Rabbeinu, his hand was extended to the jewels of Paro, and an angel came, moved it to the coals. You guys know the story, yeah? And here we have the giant of Torah Shebaal Teh, Esther, and her hand is extended the wrong way, and a Malach comes and moves it. I wonder what the connection is. V'amelech, kamda chamato, so the king arose in his anger from the festivities, mimishtayayin el ginata bitan. He went out to his orchard, his garden, and then v'amelech shav miginata bitan. Then the pasuk says the king returned from the garden. So the pasuk seems to equate the two. He went out to the garden. He went back from the garden. What's the pasuk telling us? Makishi valikima. The pasuk is drawing a comparison between his return to his exit. Makima bechema. Just like when he arose and exited the party, he was in anger. Avshiva bechema. So too, his return was with anger. The anger was swelling up inside him. Dazal vashkach lemalachei hasharit. When he went, he came in, he encountered the angels, the malachei hasharis, the idmulei kigavrei. They showed up to him. They looked to him like human beings. Vekaakrei leilanei debustanei. They saw him uprooting his beautiful trees in his orchard. Bamalu mayuv daichu. So he says, "Hey guys, what you doing in my orchard?" So what do they say? Amulei debakdina Haman. They said, "Haman sent us to uproot your trees. What do you mean?" So Haman's taking out his trees. No one asked him. Atalebeitei. He comes back home. Bamanu fell ala mita, and Haman was falling on the bed that Esther was on. Nofel nafal mi vaile. Why does the verse say it's active? Nofel, he was falling. It should have said he fell. Amar Rabbi Elazar, again we have a quote from Rabbi Elazar, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, Jerusalem. Melamed, this teaches us, Sheba malach veipilo alea. A malach came and pushed Haman on top of Esther. So, hey, Haman wants to straighten up. And the Malach says, "No, you don't." Knocks him back down onto Esther. Amar, vay mi beita, vay mi bara. Ahasuerus says, "Wow, from within, from without. The guy is taking everything over." Vayomer HaMelech, agam lichbosh ta malkai mi babait. Ah, you want to take over my queen with me still around? Vayomer Charvona. Then Charvona pipes up and says, "Oh, you know, there's even the tree out there that Haman wants to hang, the one man who said good things about you." Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. You guys noticing how often he's showing up in this Gemara? For the last few pages he's been showing up all the time. He is the prime quote here throughout this Medrash, but now you notice it, because now you know who he is. So Rabbi Elazar taught, Af Charvona Rasha, even Charvona the wicked. What does the word Af mean? You guys who were here from the beginning should remember. Either it means or also deeper, let's say like a lamdin? Does it mean secondary on a lower level, or is that on the same level? Are they on the same level of obligation to read Megillah as men? Could a woman read on behalf of a man? Tup shatim in Tosos, what the word af means. Af charvonara shabotaitzaya, even charvona, the wicked, was in on that evil plot. Kevan shirashelo nitkei matzato. When he saw it wasn't going to happen, he saw that their plot wasn't going to come to fruition. Miyad barach, right away he switched sides at the right moment. Ve'ainu dichtiv. That's what the pasuk says in Iyov. Ve'yishlech alav elo yachmol. Miyad. What's the full verse? You had it? That's what the pasuk says. Yep. Ve'yishlech alav elo yachmol. Miyado baruach yivrach. Miyado baruach yivrach. Guys, when they didn't have these Talmuds, I would take a page like this of Gemara and sit for the first 10 minutes with Tanakh and look up each Pasuk. Because to learn Gemara without knowing the Pasukim is Amaratus. It's foolishness. You want to... If you know the Tanakh well, fine. But if they're Pasukim from Eov, which we don't yet know by heart... I have most of Eov recorded, but that chapter I don't think I have yet. So that's towards the end. So if you don't know the pasuk, look it up. So Vayeshech alav derech mol miyado baruach yivrach, from his hands he runs away. Right away he runs away at the right moment. Miyado, the Eov is describing how those yado, those that are helping him out, his friends, they run away from him. That's what happens to the wicked. So Harvona switches sides at a pivotal moment, and that's going to cause Haman's downfall. The king says, "Hang him on it," and that's what happens. Bahamata melech shachacha, the king's anger settled. Shtei shchichot alalu lama. Why does it say shachacha? Why does it say twice shacha? It calmed down. Achat shel makosh lolam, achat shel achashverosh. One, the king of the world, and one of achashverosh. And some say, the student said, one anger over what he was about to do to Esther, and one anger over what he caused him to do with Vashti. Don't forget, he had the first queen murdered. Okay, now we're going to do a big rewind. Go back to the book of Bereishis. Crank ourselves back. We're at Bereishis. And when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, so they all kiss and hug, and then he sends them off. לכולם נתן לאיש חליפות צמלות. Each one he gave their set of clothing. ולבנימין נתן חמש חליפות. And בנימין he gave him five sets of clothing. What's going on here? אפשר דבר שנצטער בו אותו צדיק ייקשל בו? The same thing that tzaddik. Who's that tzaddik? Yosef. He suffered over that. He, Yosef. Why were the brothers jealous of him? Because he had an extra garment. His garment was extra nice. So now he'll make the same mistake and give Binyamin five? Dama Rava Bar Machsi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guya, Amar Rav. Rava Bar Machsi, send the name Rav Chama Bar Guya in the name of Rav. Bishvil Mishkal Shnei Slei Melat Shosiv Yaakov Liyosef Mishar Chav. Nit Kergel Adavar V'yaldu Avotenu LeMitzrayim, because of the weight of two sela of fine wool that Yaakov gave Yosef more than the other brothers. Everyone got a nice sweater. Everyone got a nice robe. And Yosef's had a little bit of color around the end of the sleeve. Only a weight of two sela of melat. That's all. The garments they each got. But he's had a stripe on this sleeve and a stripe on that sleeve. So if we all have blue, and he has a silver stripe going around the edge, so you know, looks much nicer. And for that, for the little bit he gave Yosef more, his brothers were jealous and we ended up in Egypt. If not for that, we wouldn't have been in Egypt. So how could it be that Yosef made the same mistake? Okay, when are you guys going to wake up? No one has a question. Come on. How could it be? God already said 200 years earlier we'd be in Egypt. What does it mean because of that we were in Egypt? Doesn't bother you guys? Hello, good morning.
That was the mechanism through which Hashem did.
The pasuk says, if not for that, we wouldn't have been in Mitzrayim. Because of that, we ended up in Mitzrayim.
It's still Hashem works the wheel of history through events that we perceive as changeable, but in the end it's all part of God's plan.
So, there is a Radak which quotes from the Gaonim that the concept that you're saying is true when there's a decree, and the question is who will fulfill the decree? Okay. But here, the Gemara seems to be saying that because of this, we ended up going down to Egypt. So says Tosfos, this Gemara is in Shabbos. If not for this, then just like the first 190 years of the 400-year exile were fulfilled in Israel in relative tranquility, so to the next 210 could have been fulfilled in relative tranquility in Israel. We didn't have to end up in Egypt. God said you will be strangers on foreign soil. Well, we were strangers in Israel for the first 190 years, and that was a fulfillment of the 400 years, right? So Tosa says it didn't have to turn out this way. It turned out this way because of enmity between the brothers, which stemmed from Yaakov's having inequality among the brothers. That's Tosus' explanation in Shabbos, where this Gemara is quoted.
So 410 years could have been in Israel.
Or 400 years could have been in Israel. The first 190 were. Why couldn't the last 210?
Wasn't there something that said that they actually had to leave the land? Didn't Esav know that, or something like that, like he was telling his descendants?
Yeah. Koresh also knew. Nachashverosh also knew, but you see that what people think they know about God's decrees are an error. The tribe of Ephraim also thought they knew. A lot of people thought they knew what God had in mind, and they were all wrong. Who?
I think Esav said that he knew.
Yeah.
So he got it right.
Esav got it right. No. Right. Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet. We never told the story about Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, but that'll have to wait. Remez ramaz lo she'atid ben latzed mimenu she'itze milpnei ha'melech b'chamisha levushei malchut. He gave him a sign that he would have a descendant who would leave the king's palace with five royal clothing. So if we didn't learn the Ramban's holy work, Torat Hashem Tmima, we look at this Gemara and say what? What kind of answer is that? But now that we know the Ramban Ziger Torat Hashem Tmima, where the Ramban says Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim is not just a trick. Hey, look at what happened to the forefathers, you can figure out what happened to the next generation. But rather, it was a way of God sealing in the future. So we know that these signs that were made in the future were ways of sealing in that the future would come to be. So that's why Yosef had to do this. Yosef's actions had an impact on the future. They weren't just a question of, here's a sign, Binyamin, you're going to have a descendant named Mordechai, and he will walk out from before the king with all these royal clothing. It's not only a sign, it's a way of sealing in the future. Yeah, you should remember this, Adam. We did it together. The beginning of the year. Okay. So he gave him a sign. You too. You were there also. He gave him a sign that he would have a son who would leave the king's palace with five royal clothing, Shneimar, as the verse says about Mordechai. Umordechai yatza milifnei ha-melech bilvush malchut, techelet vachu, vater tzav gdola, v'techich butz, v'argaman. Mordechai left the king's palace with five forms of royal clothing. So that was the idea. Okay. Now that we're talking about Yosef and his brothers, we're going to focus on them for a long while now.
Sorry, Mordechai was descending
to Ephraim. Great question. That's what it seems to say here. Yes. It says, Ish Yemini.
Ish Yemini? No, else it says. There's also another famous pasuk.
Yeah.
It seems to say something else.
What does it say?
Ish Yehudi.
That same pasuk includes Ish Yemini.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Okay. Ish Yehudi, Oyav, Ishana Bira, Ushmo Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. Okay, Yemini? That's what it says.
Yemini is Ben Yamin.
That's what it seems, yeah. So, now we're going to focus on the story of Yosef and his brothers. And, if you guys want some interesting Bible analytics, take a look at the parsha of Yosef and Paro and compare it with the parsha of Mordechai and Achashverosh, and you'll see that Esther fashioned the Megillah around the story of Yosef. You have identical terms. Paro takes off his ring, gives it to Yosef. Achashverosh takes off his ring, gives it to Haman. Yosef goes out, Mordechai goes out. You'll see identical verses throughout the Megillah. You'll see identical terms.
It's not like an entirely parallel narrative.
Right, right. No, it's not a parallel narrative. But the terms that are used and the descriptions are very, very similar. So it says that Yosef, it's not my own thought. I saw it once in the introduction of Dat Mikra to Miguel's Esther. And ever since then, I keep seeing more and more similarities. It's a good point. What can we say? V'yipol al tzavrei Binyamin achiv. It says that Yosef fell on the necks of his brother Binyamin. Kama tzavrein havu leile Binyamin? How many necks did Binyamin have? Amar Rabbi Elazar, who's Rabbi Elazar? Now you all know the disciple of
Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan, who composed the Jerusalem Talmud. Excellent. Rabbi Elazar said, "Bacha al shnei mikdashim she'atidin liot bechelko shel Binyamin." Yosef wept over the two temples that would be in the section of Binyamin. Ve'atidin licharev, and they were destined to be destroyed. Ubinyamin bachal tzavarav, and Binyamin wept on his neck. Bachal mishkan shilo she'atid liot bechelko shel Yosef. He wept over Mishkan Shiloh, that would be in the section of Yosef, Atid Licharev, and would be destroyed. So they got nothing better to do the first time they're meeting, but to weep about the temples that would be destroyed. And how does the neck mean the temple? So what does it say in Song of Songs? Tzavareich kemigdal hashein. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. What's your neck? Your neck is where you pray. Your neck is where you express yourself to God. It's where your voice comes from. Your neck is the height. That's what supports the head. It is possibly the temple.
It's also the part that needs to bow your head down.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So, the question is, why is this the focal? Why is this the focus of this meeting? Okay. Yosef tells the brothers, your eyes see the eyes of my brother Binyamin. What's he telling them? Mama Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, and by now we all know who Rabbi Elazar is. Notice, he is the one talking throughout here. Amar lahem, he said to the other brothers, Keshem shen bilibi al Binyamin achi, just as you know, I have no ill feelings towards my brother Binyamin. Shelo haya b'mechirati, he was not in cahoots with my sale. By the same token, I maintain no ill feelings towards you. That's what he was comparing. He said, you guys see, my brother Binyamin sees. What was he saying? He was saying, you know, my brother Binyamin, we shared the same mother. He wasn't a part of the sale, and obviously I have nothing against him for it. Well, by the same token, I have nothing against you guys either. He tells them, take a look. Kifi amdaber alechem. My mouth is saying to you, what was he saying? Kifi. He was indicating, kifi ken libi. Just like my mouth is saying I have no ill feeling, so too my heart. And to his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys laden with the goods of Egypt. My mituv mitzrayim. What is the good of the land of Egypt? Amar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Notice the Rabbi Elazar again. Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet quoted in the name of Rabbi Elazar, shalach lo yayin yashan. He sent him aged wine. Shedat zkenim nochai menu, because the elders are happy with aged wine. Why? As a person grows older and his body becomes frail and his capacity to be productive diminishes, his wisdom increases. And sometimes all he notices is, I can't do what I used to be able to. And when he tastes old wine, he is reminded that some things get better with time. And he is reminded that that's true with his intellect as well. So older people appreciate old wine even more. This is a pshat that Rabbi Ort once told me. I don't know where it exists, but I heard it from him. His brothers too went before him and they fell before him. Amar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet, Amar Rabbi Elazar. By now you guys are tired of my pointing it out. Rabbi Binyamin bar Nevet quoted in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Haynu dam reimshi. This is what people say. Ta'ala be'idne sagidle. When the fox says his day, ta'ala the fox. Be'idne, in his time, when it's his time to be in control, sagidle, bow down to him. Tala, why are you calling Yosef a fox? Why is he less than the other brothers? What does it mean, you know, when the smallest animal in the forest, when the hunted one, he's in control about him. Well, why is Yosef less than others? But if you want, that quote was misappropriated. It's going on that which it says, Yaakov bowed towards Yosef. Why is Yaakov the father bowing to the son? About that, when the fox is in control, bowed to him. Yosef next to his father is like a little fox. But Yosef next to the brothers, there's no reason to call him a fox. The father dies, and the brothers come to him and they say a lie. They tell Yosef, you know, your father said we should tell you, please forgive your brothers. Yaakov never said any such thing. But now that Yaakov's dead, they could say whatever they want in his name. And the brothers were concerned. Who knows what Yosef's going to do to us now? So Yosef comforts them. Vayinachem otam veydaber al libam. Chazal say, going back a second, Chazal say from the brothers' lie, we learn that for the sake of peace, you could lie. They didn't do something wrong, quite the contrary. We derive from that halacha, that for the sake of peace, you're allowed to lie. Not for the sake of peace between countries, but for the sake of peace in the family. You want to tell him something that'll appease him, and it doesn't hurt anyone, it'll just keep the peace, so you could do that.
We have a precedent for that in Sarah Lynn, when she said that.
Excellent, excellent. Wow. On the ball, wow.
Where's Sarah Lynn? When she laughs at Hashem, Hashem tells her she's going to conceive him. She says, "What this old guy, you know, is going to give him a child to Avram." She changes the wording.
Hashem changes the wording. Hashem, when he quotes it, Hashem switches it around. Yeah.
That's what the first instance of the line.
Vayinachem otam veydaber al libam. So it says that Yosef comforted them and he spoke upon their hearts. So, Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Melamed. This teaches us Shamar Lehem Dorim Shemitkablim Al Alev. He said to them, he appeased them by telling them things that make sense, that were easy to believe. He told them as follows. He said, "What are you concerned that I'm going to think to hurt you now that our father has passed away? If 10 candles couldn't extinguish one candle, how could one candle think to extinguish 10? Obviously, I'd have to be foolish to think that. Okay, back to the Megillah after that tangent.
I'm sorry, what is he trying to say there?
He's saying, don't worry, I wouldn't even think about it.
So if 10 candles can't extinguish one, meaning the 10 of them couldn't succeed in conspiring against him.
Certainly he doesn't stand a chance. And he says, I don't mean it, I don't want it, and I'll prove it to you. It wouldn't even make sense of me. So the Megillah says, La yudim hayeta ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. The Jews had light and happiness and rejoicing and yekor, which will translate as glory. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, a disciple of Rav and Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says, when it says the Jews had light, zot Torah, that's talking about Torah. So here you see, beforehand they didn't have Torah. Now that Haman was wiped out, now that the decree was annulled, they had Torah, because Haman decreed Lehashmid. What does the word Lehashmid mean? Forced conversion. Haman said, no Jews keeping Torah. So until they got rid of this decree, the Jews did not have Orah. They did not have the light of Torah. That's what the Megillah is saying in code. The Megillah was written under Ahasuerus's notes. So Esther had to be very careful what she says. She's Ahasuerus's wife. And obviously, he's going to get word of the Megillah, like we saw in the beginning of the tractate. So Esther has to take care of what she's going to write overtly. So she doesn't write, and now the Jews could learn Torah freely. She writes it in code. She says the Jews had light. What is light? Light is Torah. V'chen u'mer, that's what the verse says. Kinel mitzvah. A mitzvah is like an oil lamp. V'torah or. And Torah is light. So when Esther wrote in the Megillah the Jews had light, she was indicating that now they were again permitted to learn Torah. The Jews had simcha. What simcha? Ze yom tov. Now they could keep the yom tovim. Now, even though technically there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos as well, but that's not the prime aspect of Shabbos. The prime aspect of Yom Tov is Simcha, right? V'samachta v'chagecha. The Simcha of Shabbos is more covert. V'chenu omer, and so do you find v'samachta v'chagecha. We have an overt commandment to be happy in our holidays. It says the Jews had sason. What does it mean they had sason zumila? That's code for circumcision. Haman decreed no more circumcisions. Now that they bumped him off and got rid of his decrees, they could again perform circumcisions. Again, written in code. V'chenu omer, and so too the verse says, when David HaMelech saw his circumcision, he said, Sas anochi al imratecha. I rejoice over your one commandment, your one saying that preceded the others, and that is the commandment of Bris Mila. The Ikar, they had glory. What glory did they have? Elu tefillin. That's a tefillin that are called the glory of Israel. V'chenu omer, all the nations will see God's name called upon you. That's our glory with our tefillin shorosh. And they will learn from you how to be God-fearing people. So, Haman decreed no tefillin. The Jews had to remove their tefillin in public. V'tanya Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol omer elu tefillin sheberosh. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol taught that when it says the nations will see God's name upon you, those are the tefillin in the head. The tefillin we wear on our head have a shin in the box, have a dalid in the knot together with the straps, and then they have a yud on the arm. So
is this a different Rabbi Eliezer?
Yeah, this is an earlier Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol.
Yeah, one is Elazar, and this one is Eliezer.
No. This is a Tana that was in Amora. It says the sons of Haman that were killed. So it says Ves Parshindoso, that's the first one, Ves Dalfon, Ves Asposo, Ves Poroso, Ves Adalia, Ves Parmashto, Ves Arisa, Ves Aridat, Ves Vaizoso, Aseres Bnei Haman. Omar Ravida, Demin Yafo. Ravida from Jaffa said, Aseres Bnei Haman, Va Aseres. When you say in public, when you read the Megillah, and you read all 10 sons of Haman, and you read the word Aseres, Tzarik lememrinu ben shimachat, you got to say it in one breath. Ves, parshindoso, ves, dalvim, ves, right? Okay, you got to say it in one breath. My time, why do you have to say it in one breath? Kulu ba'de adodi nafkinish masayu. They all lost their breath in one shot. They were all hung at once. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, the compiler of the Jerusalem Talmud, the disciple of Rabbi Yanai, who lost all 10 sons in his lifetime, who was very beautiful and the brother-in-law of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan taught, Vav de Vaizosa, the Vav of the name Vaizosa, Tzarech le Mimchise Bizkifa, Kimudaya Dilavros. When you say Vava Vaizosa, you have to extend it a little bit, and you have to extend it Kimudaya Dilavros. My timer. Why do we extend that vav? Kulu bechad zekifa is the kifu. That vav represents the long tree that they were all hung on, and they were all hung down in a row. That 10 sons of Haman hanging down that tree. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, darash of Shela ish kfar Tamarta. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa quotes that Rabbi Shela from the village of Tamarta darshan the following. Kol ha-shirot kulan, all the different songs in Tanakh. We have Oz Yashir, we have the song of Devora. All the different songs in Tanakh, nichtavot ariach al gabei levena velvena al gabei ariach. The writing is written over the space, and the space is over the writing. So you have writing space writing, and then space writing space, like a five on the die, where you have the ink over the blank, and then ink and the middle ink. Yeah, you guys get the picture. Ariach is half a brick. We have a pen and paper here, guys. We have Tanakh here. Thank you. So, thank you. Here we go. If you're writing a song, you write text, Ariach, you leave a blank space. That's a Levena, blank space. Then Ariach, more writing. Then under the writing, you have a blank space. And then Ariach, writing under the blank space. Then another blank space under the writing. And that's how the Shiras go.
Like a checkerboard.
Right. Excellent. Like a checkerboard pattern. Now this is yours and this is yours. Thank you very much. All the songs of Tanakh, he says, are written Ariach al-Gabay Levena, v'Levena al-Gabay Ariach. Chutz Meshirazo. Except for this song, the song, the Ten Sons of Haman is considered a song for whatever reason, when we enumerate the ten that were killed. Umalchei Kenan, and when we enumerate the kings of Canaan that were captured, that there you have all the writing in one column, then a column of blank space, and then another column of writing. Sharech al gabei arech v'levena al gabei levena. There we have writing over writing and blank space over blank space. My timer, why over there do we do it this way? Shalotet kumalem apaltan, because it's as though they're all piled up and they can't get out of the pile. They should never get back up. Vayomer amelech leester amalkah. The king turns to Esther at the end of the first day where the Jews killed so many citizens, and he tells her, Bishushan Abirah Ugua Yudim, in Shushan the Jews killed 500 people, and in the rest of the country who knows how many people they killed. Amar Rabbi Avahu Milamed Sheba Melech Vistaro Al Piv. Achashverosh begins as though he's about to make a complaint. The Jews killed so many in my capital and throughout the country, who knows how many they killed. And what else would you like, my wonderful queen? Tells us Rabbi Avahu, an angel came down and smacked him. Suddenly he had a change of heart and said, and what else would you like, my dear? So she says, okay, give me one more day in the capital. It says, when the Megillah explains why we have the holiday, so the Megillah says, when she came before the king, so he said with the book, this is what should be done. Amar, that's what he said. Amrami Baile, this is what she said. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amra lo yomar bepema shekatuv basefer. She said to him, let them say orally what they accepted in writing. So Rashi over here says, Hochi Garcina. Here's what the correct version of this Gemara. Amar of Nachman, Yomar Bepema Shenichta Besparim. It's not what she said to Achashverosh. V'lo Garcina Amralo. We don't say over here that she said this to Achashverosh. But the explanation is as follows. The Pasuk says, the Jews accepted that which they had begun doing, because Haman wanted to annihilate them. And then when Esther came before the king, everything was absolved, and Amar Ima Sefer. Mordechai wrote to the Jews they should celebrate Purim because Haman wanted to annihilate them, and the king agreed to overturn it, and Amar, all of this should be re-mentioned every year Ima Sefer with the Megillah. So don't just sit your kids down and tell them, kids, this is what happened so many years ago, Haman wanted to annihilate us and Esther saved us, like this and that. It's not like the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the night that the Jews were saved from Egypt, they were saved spiritually and they got Torah Shebichsav willingly. On that night, we don't have a text. Chazal instituted a Godah, but technically the mitzvah is just say as much as you can. On this night, we commemorate the redemption from Achashverosh, the second Golos, and we commemorate accepting a Torah Shebaal Peh. So on this night, Mordechai instituted this, you don't leave to every Jew to do his own thing. No. Ima Sefer, let them say orally what they have written in the text. That's Omar Ima Sefer. Let them say, he said they should say with the text.
Where is it? How do we know that the celebration itself?
I didn't hear you.
Where do we know that, that the celebrations in the Megillah are that, that we have in the second Golos?
I didn't say Sefer in the second Golos. There is a Nesigos that says that. But that wasn't my point there. I'm saying the... I'm just showing the correlation. Why does there have to be a stress, say it from a text? I'm saying by contradistinction with the first Golos, Golos Mitzrayim, where there is no real text, Chazal instituted Agoda. But technically, you have a mitzvah to recount the Yetzias Mitzrayim orally. Here, Amar Ima Sefer, he said, let it be said with the book how we were saved from Achashverosh. They sent word to all the Jews, Divrei Shalom Ve'emet, words of peace and truth. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Vamila Amar Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Tanchum, and some say it was Rabbi Yasi that said, Nelamed Shetzicha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah. When it says Divrei Shalom Ve'emet, it's indicating that the words of the Megillah are like the words of Emet. Emet is a reference to God's, to godliness, that's God's Torah. Just like God's Torah requires sirtut, you're not allowed to write in a Sefer Torah without engraving in lines. You have to have lines in a Sefer Torah. Look in a Sefer Torah, you'll see. They scratch in lines, that's why it's called sirtut. Sirtut is literally scratching. You scratch in the lines, and then you write from the line downward, right? The letters come from the line downward. Not like we write, where we write the bottom of the letters on the line. Mm-hmm. In a Sefer Torah, the top of the letters on the line. So, from this pasuk, we understand that the Megillah requires sirtut, just like the Torah. Umamar Esther Kiyam. And the declaration of Esther fulfilled or maintained this institution. Ma'amar Esther in Divrei Atzomot lo. The pasuk says like this: they had all the. It says in the pasuk, they had the to commemorate how they were fasting and wailing before Hashem, and Esther saying so maintained Purim. So the Gemara says only Esther saying so. The fact that they suffered, they fasted, that wasn't reason enough to maintain the holiday of Purim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Divrei Atzomot, Umamar Esther Kiyam. Umamar Esther, you have the Vav that connects it. It's not coming to say, and Esther's declaration made them fulfill Purim to the exclusion of the fasting. No. Esther's institution plus the fasting was why the Jews agreed to accept this institution. Umamar plus Esther's institution, together these things are why the Jews kept Purim.
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
The pasuk says Umamar Esther Kiyam. So if you read it just like that, it seems to say only Esther say so is why the Jews kept Purim. Now the previous pasuk says Purim is to commemorate the fasting and the fact that the Jews were in such trouble and were wailing before Hashem. So the Gemara questions, the fact that they suffered so much was not reason enough to keep Purim, you needed Esther say so. Answers the Gemara, even though there's a pause, it's two separate pasukim, read it like one. Divrei Atzomot v'zakatam umamar Esther. All three, they're fasting, they're wailing, and Esther's declaration was the reason that Kiyam, they fulfilled the holiday of Purim. Don't read it as two separate psukim, but rather read it as one long line. That's why it begins with the Vav. Umamar Esther Kiyam. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishne LaMelech HaChashverosh V'Gadol Yehudi V'Ratzui L'Rov Echav. Because Mordechai the Yehudi was second in command to the king and great for the Jews and liked by most of his brothers. The Megillah concludes by pointing out not everyone liked Mordechai. Says the Gemara, teaches us, yeah, some of the Sanhedrin left him. Some of the Sanhedrin said, you're becoming a politician. Not everyone liked what Mordechai was doing. Some people pulled back from him. You see, sometimes in life, you could save the whole Jewish people, and some very big people, like people on the Sanhedrin, are going to say, you're a politician, we don't want to have anything to do with you. So the Megillah, on the one hand, is telling us how great Mordechai was. On the other hand, it's telling us, you know what? Not everyone approved of him. Were they in the right or not? Oh, so that's a discussion.
Very Jewish reaction.
Like the Kuzari says, we're always questioning us Jews. Amar Rav Yosef, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Matzalat Nefashot. You should know that these rabbis had a point. Learning Torah is greater even than saving lives. If you think, gee shucks, I'm here learning Torah, I could be working in Mada, I could be working saving lives, tells you Rav Yosef, be happy other people are saving lives, and you could sit here and learn because you're doing something bigger. How so? I'll prove it, he says. Initially, when we have an enumeration of the great sages, Mordechai is fourth on the list. Then Mordechai became top rabbi, top politician. He had to learn a little bit less. And ultimately, Mordechai is counted after five rabbis. He's number five or six on the list. Me'karaktiv, initially, the Pasuk says, Ashabawim Zerubbabel. The rabbis who came with Zerubbabel were Yeshua, Nechemias, Layar, Aliyah, Mordechai. You see, Mordechai is after four. Bilshan. And then in the final enumeration it says, Abimim Zerubbabel, those that came with Zerubbabel were Yeshua, Nechemiah, Azariah, Ramiah, Nachmani, Mordechai, Bilshan. You see, he's listed after five. So you see, initially he was fifth on the list, now he was sixth on the list. Why was he a notch lower? He couldn't learn as much Torah. He wasn't the greatest rabbi. If you're going to deal with saving the world, you're going to lose something from your Torah. Amar Ravi Temer Rav Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav taught, and others say it was Rav Shmuel Bar Marta that taught, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Mibinyan Beit HaMikdash. Learning Torah is greater than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Prove it to you. Shekol Zman Shebaruch Ben Neri HaKayam. So long as Baruch Ben Neri, the great prophet, the disciple of Yirmiyahu, was still alive, Lo Nicho Ezra Ve'ala. Ezra didn't leave go. Ezra stayed in Babylon to learn. Baruch Ben Neri was too old to make the trip. So why didn't Ezra come initially when they went to rebuild the temple? Why is Ezra coming much later? Answer, his Rebbe was still alive. He's not going anywhere. He's not making Aliyah. His Rebbe can't make Aliyah. He could learn more Torah in Chutz Laretz. After Baruch Ben Neri passes away, Ezra's the chief rabbi. Ezra's considered like Moshe Rabbeinu. But he had a Rebbe. There was still someone to learn from in Babylon. So Ezra doesn't come to Israel. So long as Baruch Ben Neri is alive, Ezra doesn't let go. He doesn't come to Israel. Amar Rabbi, so you see, even though, wait a second, the Jews need a temple. Koresh gave permission to build the temple. Other Jews went and Ezra didn't go. When Ezra goes, he gets the job done. And he knows he could get the job done. But he says, what I'm doing is more important. And we see Ezra was right. Thanks to Ezra, we're all Jews today. Ezra's learning Torah maintained Judaism for eternity. It is Ezra who put together the great assembly and made Judaism what we know it today. I don't know if he could have done it had he packed his bags and said, Zionism, let me go build the Beis HaMikdash. True Zionist, come on, Eshivas Tzion Einu Kecholmim. So he said it every benching. He dreamt about Zion, but he knew that his Torah was more important, and he was right. We learn from him Halacha. The Tosefta says in Moed Katan, and it's quoted in Halacha, that you don't leave Eretz Yisrael stam, you're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael, but for Shidduch or for Torah, you do leave. There are smart people in Israel. So if you have someone you could learn from in Israel, why go to Chutz Laretz? But if you haven't found someone to learn from in Israel, and you know in Chutz Laretz there is someone to learn from, so then it says, you know, just because they're smarter than you doesn't mean you can learn from them. You can't learn from every guy who's smarter than you. You need someone who you connect to. You need a Rebbe. So then a person could leave for Chutz Laretz, for learning Torah. So think about it. Everything we do today, our Kiddush, our davening, our Shabbos, everything you can imagine is all Ezra. 85% of Judaism today is Ezra and his great assembly. Really, if you think about it, if you look deeply, you'll see. So look at what his Torah was worth. And here we learn. Learning Torah is more important even than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi.
I don't know, but I just have a quick question about the previous statement about the rabbi learning Torah is more important than saving lives. Doesn't seem like the case that they bring, the proof they bring, isn't so much a proof
Because it's saying that Mordechai was considered somewhat less of a sage because he didn't spend much time learning Torah, but that's almost obvious. It's not saying that in itself is not as good. Maybe it was worth it in the end. Because
he didn't have a choice. He had to do it. We're not saying he was wrong in doing it. We're saying, but you see, he wasn't as great. You might have said he was a greater person. He just saved the entire Jewish nation. He was a much bigger person. Maybe he should be first on the list. The rabbis bumped him down. They said he's not first on the list.
It's not really a list of the great people. It's more a list of the Torah sages. It's a list according to that meeting.
Okay, I hear. You see, the Talmud didn't understand that way. We might have said like you. You see, the Gemara doesn't say that. I could have said like you, I hear. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Malta. Gadol Talmud Torah Yotel Mikibud Aveim. Learning Torah is even greater than honoring one's parents. Shekol Otan Shanim Shaya Yaakov Bevet Ever Lo Neinash. For all the years Yaakov was in the academy of Ever, he wasn't punished. Damama. Because we have the following quote. Lama Nimnu Shnotav Shel Yishmael. Why does the Torah bother mentioning the years of Yishmael? Kedei Liyaches Ben Shnotav Shel Yaakov. So when we do math, we could figure out Yaakov's years. Tichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Veide shnei chaye Yishmael, me'at shana u'shloshim shana v'sheva shanim. Yishmael was 137 years old. Kama kashish Yishmael me'itzhak al beisach shanim. Yitzhak was 14 years younger than Yishmael, because the Pasuk says, V'Avram ben shmonim shana v'shesh shanim bile tagat Yishmael. Avram was 86 when Yishmael was born. V'chtiv v'Avram ben me'at shana b'valot Yitzhak v'no. Avram was 100 when Yitzhak was born. So Yishmael is 14 years the senior of Yitzchak. V'chtiv, and the Pasuk says, Yitzchak ben shishim shana b'leit totam. So Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov and Esav were born. Bakama ha'ave Yishmael, kadid yalid Yaakov, b'ashivim v'arba'ah. Yishmael was 74 when Yaakov was born. So you see that Yishmael was 74 when Yaakov was born. Yishmael died at 137. Kama paishin mishnei. How many years does Yishmael have left to live? Shitin v'tlat, 63. So you see that Yishmael was 63, Yaakov was 63 when Yishmael died. V'tanya, haya Yaakov avinu b'shash nitvarach me'aviv ben 63 shana. And the Braisa says Yaakov was 63 years old when he was blessed by his father Yitzchak. Uvo baker perek met Yishmael. And at that time Yishmael dies. Makes sense so far, right? Dichtiv, because it says, Vayare Sav kiberach, Esav sees that Yitzchak blessed Yaakov and sent him off for a shidduch. Esav says, oh, my father doesn't like my Canaanite wives. I'll go get a wife from the family. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav went to Yishmael's family. Vayikach et machlat bat Yishmael achot nevayot. He took machlas, the daughter of Yishmael, the sister of nevayos. Mimashmash ne'emar bat Yishmael eni yodeh she'achot nevayot. Once it tells me she's Yishmael's daughter, don't I know she's nevayos' sister? Why does it bother mentioning that? To tell us that nevayos ended up walking her down the aisle with Esav. To tell us, melamed shekidsha Yishmael, that Yishmael did kiddushin on her behalf, umet, and then Yishmael died, ve'siyah nevayot achiyah, and then Nevayos married her off. Okay, so far, so good. Yaakov is 63 years old, Yishmael passed away, right? We just saw the math. Yishmael passed away, Yaakov is 63. Okay, now, Shitin vitlat darbeisar ad demitelid Yosef. If you do 63 plus the 14 years till Yosef was born, remember, Yaakov worked 7 years, then married Rachel and Leah, then works another 7 years, and then when the 14 years are up, it says Yosef was born, and then he said to Lavan, let me go, my years are up. V'chtiv, and it says, V'yosef ben 30 shana b'omdo lifnei Pharaoh. Now, it says Yosef was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. So if Yaakov was really 63 when he was blessed by his father, plus another 14, 77 when he has Yosef. And Yosef is 30 years old when he becomes king, it says in the Torah. So then how old should Yaakov be at that point? He should be 107, right? Hamea v'sheva. So Yaakov should be 107. Now, when Yosef becomes king, it says right away you had the 7 years of famine and 2 years of hunger. That's what Yosef tells the brother. It's only been 2 years of hunger. We have 5 more years left. Sheva, shev de sava, vetalti de kafna, 7 of supplement, 2 of hunger, hamav eshitzel. So Yaakov at this point should be how old? 119. And yet it says, when Yaakov comes down to Paro that year, he tells the Yomer Paro, Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha. Paro questions him, how old are you? Vayomer Yaakov, Paro Yimei Shnei Gurai, 30 Umat Shana. Yaakov tells him, I'm 130 years old. Wait a second. We just said he should have been 119. Navishitza Ravian. Weren't they 116? I'm sorry, 116? Right? Again, what's the math? 77. 63 when he got the blessings. 14 years by Lavan makes him 77. 30 years of Yosef makes him 107. And 7 years of supplement, 2 years of hunger, you end up with 116. He should have been 116. Why does he say he's 130? Ela shema minah, ba'asra shanin da'ava b'veteva lo chashivlu. We see there were 14 years after he was blessed by his father that he went to learn by the Academy of Aver. The Torah doesn't mention it's in hiding because Yaakov was in hiding. He went to hiding for 14 years, learned Torah before he went out to Lava. Now, Titania, what does it mean they don't count? Because the Braisa says as follows. Yaakov was hidden in Aver's academy, learning Torah for 14 years. Aver met l'achar she'arad Yaakov avin l'aram naraim shtei shanin. Aver died. Let's leave out the words Aver died. Then Yaakov went down to Aram Naraim for 2 years, and then Aver died. Yatza misham uvalo l'Aram Naraim. And then he left and went to Aram Naraim. Nimtzak shamad al aver ben 77 shana. He was 77 years old when he hit Lavan's house. He wasn't the way we thought 63, but rather he had 14 years of learning in Beis Medrash before he went there. He was 77. That's where the 14 years disappeared to. Now, Yaakov was punished for all the years he was away from his father. He was away from his father 22 years, 14 years with the sheep, and then another 6 years. That's 20, and then another 2 years when he entered the land of Israel. For 22 years, he didn't see his son Yosef. And he was punished for the 22 years he was away from home. He wasn't with his father for 22 years. He was punished for 22 years. He didn't have his son by him. But he wasn't punished for the 14 years in when he was learning in yeshiva. Uminalan delo me'anesh. How do we know he wasn't punished for those 14 years? Detanya, the Braisa says, Mimtza Yosef shefiresh me'aviv 22 shana. Yosef, when he left his father, was 22. Keshem shepresh Yaakov avinu me'aviv. Just like Yaakov was 22. When he, I'm sorry, Nimtza Yosef shepresh me'aviv 22 shana. Turns out that Yosef was away from his father for 22 years. Keshem shepresh Yaakov avinu me'aviv. Just like Yaakov was away from his own father for 22 years. Asks the Gemara, the Yaakov tlatin meshita havien. Yaakov had 36 years away from his father, we just said. He had 22 years, he had 14 by Lavan, then another 6 by Lavan, then another 2 in Rut. That's 22 plus 14 by Beis Eiver. Ela, but here we see that our Beisa, Dehavet Beis Eiver, Lo Chashivlu, the 14 years in the Academy of Eiver, for those 14 years he wasn't punished for being away from his father. Sof, the Gemara says, wait a second, at the end of the day, the Beit Lavan is Slim Shaninavu. The years he was in Lavan's house was 20 years. 7 working for the wives, another 7 working for the wives, 14. And then it says he worked another 6 years making his own wealth. So that's 20. But rather, it's not by Lavan that he spent the other 2 years, but it took him 2 years to get back home. Titania, because the Braisa says, Yatza ma'aram na'arayim uvalu lesukot. He left the Ram Narayim and he came to Sukkot. V'asasham shmonasa chodesh. He spent 18 months in Sukkos because the pasuk says V'Yaakov nasa Sukkot. Yaakov traveled to Sukkos. V'yiven lo bayit. He built a house. Ulmiknel asa Sukkot, and he built Sukkos for his cattle. So you see that he had a house and Sukkot. So you see that a house and Sukkot, twice Sukkot. That means he was there 2 summers and 1 winter. 1 bayit and 2 Sukkot. That's how the Gemara understands. He was there a total of a year and a half. That's 18 months. Ubeveitel asa shisha chodashim ve'ekriv zvachim. He spent in Beitel 6 months and brought sacrifices. And that brings us to the conclusion. The Perek ends with the greatness of Torah. Remember, the Megillah is all about Torah. Lahu demoisa oro. They got Torah again. They got Torah shebaal peh. They again accepted the Torah. Hadur kiblu abimei Achashverosh. They accepted the Torah again willingly in Achashverosh's time. So we can conclude with this fitting point that Torah is so important. It's bigger than Kibbut Aveim. It's bigger than building the Beis Hamikdash. It's bigger than even saving lives of Mordechai. And that brings us to Adran Lach Megillah Nikret, Adran Lach Megillah Nikret, Adran Lach Megillah Nikret. HaKoret HaMegillah Lemachweh Lo Yatza. We begin the second chapter. If you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yotze. You can't read the third chapter, first chapter, second chapter. You can't dance around the Megillah. You got to read it in order. Otherwise, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. And we will pick up with this Mishnah Bezrat Hashem tomorrow night. Mazel Tov.